Thank you, Pastor Joe. Good morning, everyone. My name is Louis, if you want to, or Louis, if you want. It's up to you. So, which way? I don't have any. I stop, you know, arguing, call me Louis, because people call me Louis. And some call me Louise. I don't know why. Where they're getting that ease at the end. That one I correct straight away. I say, no, that's not me. That's a different person. I'm so happy to be with you this morning. You know, I was in a trip this week. We went to Canada because the news came to us. A niece died in Canada. She was 36 years old. And she was battling breast cancer. And the cancer spread out so quickly in her body. And she died on a Good Friday. She died on Good Friday. And my wife and I, so we decided to make a trip. I couldn't miss it. But I had in mind you, Dealers Mennonite. I said, I'm not going to cancel, you know, my coming here on Sunday. So we went over there, and the burial was on Saturday. So after the burial, we drove back here so that we can be this morning with you. So I praise God for her life. You know, one thing that of the testimony that I heard about him, that we as a Christian, we need to be prepared, you know, every day of our life. So on her last week of living, she had a conversation with her parent, and because we prayed, you know, not only the father is a pastor in the church over there, and we've been praying for her for quite some time, you know, for God miracle, for God healing, you know, to see her be restored completely. She was young. No, she was not married, no children. So I want to see her continue with her life, but it didn't happen that way. So praying, we pray, but God answered our prayer. You know, God has different way of answering prayers. Not only the way that we want the prayer to be answered. You know, because when we pray most of the time, we want to see, you know, the person heal and restore and walking and standing and doing everything as normal. But God has other way that he can answer our prayer. And she had this conversation with her father and asked them a question that you need to be prepared for what God is going to give us an answer. That's her talking. And the father asked her, and then she asked her family, she said, are you ready for that? And the father asked her the same question and said, are you ready for what answer God is going to give? And she said, I'm ready. I am ready. But the mother said, I'm not ready. Because it's very hard. You know, it's very hard to accept that. For a father to bury a son or daughter, it's very hard. But she passed away. Prepare. That's all I capture. That's all I put in my mind. We need to be prepared. We need to be ready. As a Christian, we cannot be afraid of death. But we need to be prepared. The person who's prepared is not afraid. No matter what happened, the person is not afraid. But if you're not ready, that's where you are afraid. So that's the message I bring to the church. It's not my sermon this morning, but I just want to tell you, let's be prepared. Because we never know the time. We're not all called to live 100 years old. Some will die very young. That's why I tell the youth, wherever I go, don't say that I have all the time, I still have all the time. You know, those old ones are going to die first, and then it's going to come as. No, it's not going to happen that way. We all need to be prepared to meet our Creator, the Lord. So thank you again for having us this morning, my family and I. My name is Louis Kabamba. My wife is Chantal Kabamba. She's there. And then my son, Nathan. And where's Sephora? I think she went somewhere. I really don't know why kids, when they come to the church, they're going to the bathroom so often. I don't know. I don't understand that. You know. When they go to school, they don't go to bathroom all the time. But when they come to church, it's 10-minute bathroom, 2-minute bathroom. Oh, it's going to the bathroom. What's wrong with the bathroom? I don't know. But you will see her coming. That's Sephora. She's my youngest one. And I have 2 more sons than I hear. One is 18 going 19. The other one is 16 going 17. They're not with us this morning because they're serving in ECR, Evangelical Center for Revival. They play guitar and the other one play drum. Drum, yes. So that's why I didn't bring them this morning with me. Because if I took them here, there is an empty space over there. But the other 2 here, they don't do nothing, so I can carry them wherever I want. You know, so we are here. See, my wife Chantal, she's a breast cancer survivor. Oh. She like conquering. Thank you. So she conquered, a breast cancer. And I praise God for that because I don't want to be a widow right now. I need her. You know, we have a long way to go. You know, back in Africa, when you married your woman, you have to give a diary. You know, you guys know that? It's not for free. We don't give rings. No, we don't do that. We give diaries. So, diary. So you guys have to pay something. Oh. So the wife family will give you a list of stuff. You know. You know, they give you all the stuff in the list that you have to bring to get your woman if you want to. You know, and then we're going to bargain, you know, hey, I don't have this, you know. But it's good. It's good. So I give that for her. So basically, I'm not ready to let her go, no matter what. Pray for long life. So Chantal, she's an NP, and she works for, she's a nurse practitioner. She works for the community care, community health center. Is that where it is? Okay. So that's where she is working. And, you know, God has put in our hearts to kind of, work with people who are not privileged. You know, people who are immigrants coming to America. People who doesn't have, everything that everybody else has. So that's where our heart is, you know, because the Lord has blessed us so much that we want to give back, you know, in any means that we can. In any means that we can, you know, for the rest of our life. So that's where she work. I used to work at Penn State Hershey Medical Center. I used to. Because I stopped working. Since you guys decide that I become a bishop. Of course you give your yes, right? Yes. Yeah. Then everything stopped. I choose this way. I say, thank you, Lord, for giving me a new family, Dealers Mennonite Church. And I stopped working for Hershey. I'm now just in a ministry. And I love Jesus. As you read on the bulletin, I give my life to Christ in London because I'm background Catholic. So I really come to know Jesus in a really profound way. You know, how to walk with Jesus, how to be close to Jesus. And that was not taught to me in the Catholic Church. So that's why I decided to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. Now, if you ask me, who are you? I'll tell you I am a Christian. I am not Mennonite. I'm not whatever you call Catholic. I am Christian, follower of Jesus. That's what defines me. That's why I can blend anywhere I go. You know, I can get anywhere because I'm a follower of Jesus. And I love Jesus with all my heart. At this point, I don't see anything in my life that's going to stop me not to follow Jesus. Until the day that you will bury me, or I bury you, either way. But I'll follow Jesus. Amen. So, born in a family of 12 back in Africa, in Congo. Anybody knows where Congo is? No. Here. You know where it is?
Middle?
Yeah. Middle of Africa. It's a big country if you look at the map in the middle of Africa. That's where Congo is. In 2 months, I'm going back there just to visit my mom because she's sick. Not in good health. So that's where I was born, grew up over there, and I left the country, went to Europe. From Europe, I came here. But this is in Europe, in London, where I really come close to Jesus and try to serve God, because in my life, I was feeling like I need to serve God when I was in a Catholic, you know, family. I need to serve God. But I did not want to be a priest. Do you know why? Because they don't get married. That didn't cross my mind. I wanted to serve God, but I don't want to be a priest. Because I knew that I'm going to get married and have a children. No, you know what? If I was going to serve that way, I was going to marry in America here. Get some, a ring. I'll get you a ring. And you say, I say yes, and that's it. We're done. Right? But, you know, God gave me my wife. I married my wife from Canada because she was in Canada. So you can see that I travel a lot. So that's where I met Chantal. We got married, and I brought her here. God, since then, blessed us with our children who are with us here. So the biggest of my family are back in Africa. So all my siblings, you know. When we talk family in Africa, we're talking extended family. We're not talking 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people, no. We're talking 20. You know, we're talking all these people together as blood family related. So most of them are back in Africa over there. So when time is allowed me, I always go over there. And I love doing missions also. So I've been doing missions before COVID for maybe 5 years, going to Haiti, where I was working with Ebenezer Mission over there. And I was one of a city away from Port-au-Prince, if you know your map, your geography. So that's where I was going mission to help them over there. But with COVID, I didn't go. But I'm planning to go back again sometime to visit them. Because this is what we've been called, to be a missionary. To spread the good news of Jesus wherever we go. So to me, to be a bishop is like God opened a door for me to continue to work for Jesus. You know, yesterday you didn't know me, but today now you know me. Why is God putting me in your way? Because God has something in me that I need to tell you. So as a Christian, we're not just bound to be behind those, you know, this area. God has given us more. Everything belongs to him. So we have a work to do in our neighborhood. We have a work to do. We have to reach people with the gospel of Jesus. We have to tell people the truth. Because the world is not going to tell us the truth, but Jesus will. So the message that I started when I preached on Easter Sunday was the celebration of Easter. What has made us to be what we are today as a Christian is the price that Jesus paid. It was okay for Jesus to be born. But imagine if Jesus didn't want to die at the cross. What was going to happen to us? We are not going to be here. There will be no churches. We were born at the cross. That's where the church got born. When he shed his blood and water come out of him, you know, for those who have babies, for those not, I am telling you, it's a wonderful experience. Because I've been at the birth of my children. I was there. Come on, honey. Go ahead, push. I was there. But when the child come out, there was blood, there was waters coming. The water broke, right? You know that, right? And the child was coming out. They pierced him, and water came out. That's our Lord at the cross. So today, in a few minutes, I'm going to tell you, because we are continuing into the resurrection, the celebration of the resurrection of Christ our Lord. Because if we can understand that, if we can grasp that resurrection with us, I believe Christian life will become so exciting, there will not go be fighting the churches. It hurt me to see churches fighting. What are we fighting for? We're supposed to be all disciples of Christ. We're supposed to be all taking the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about what you think or what I think. It's about what God said. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
A good amen. Come on.
Amen.
I know you're not used to say amen. But get used to that. It's about the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's okay for us to have ideas what we want our building to be. Because most of the time we think about the building. We're not thinking about the church of Jesus Christ. We go behind this wall. That's why you are calling for. You cannot be content to come here and be happy to stay here every Sunday when you know there is somebody that you can talk about Christ. Who is living close to you. And bring him into this family. Who is Jesus Christ to us? So my message today, I entitled the message, On the Way to... This word really gave me a hard time. Emmaus. My wife and I were Googling this morning. I said, my wife, how do you pronounce that word? Emmaus. Because I pronounce it Emmaus. She said, no. We have to Google that. I said, oh, go ahead, do Google. On our drive here, she was looking. And we listened to some Google way, Emmaus. And that's why I said, hey, Pastor Joe, go read. Because I want to see how you're going to say that. So Emmaus, thank you very much. So they were in the road to Emmaus, this village. Why? Because they didn't grasp, they didn't understand the gospel, what the teaching of Jesus. Who was Jesus for them? Jesus was a prophet. You know why? Because Israel was under the ruling of the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire didn't give them an easy life. They were thinking for somebody that God will bring, a prophet that God will bring, who will restore the kingdom of Israel. That's what they were thinking. They were thinking about the position into the kingdom. You know, when he become the king, we're going to be in the court, you know. We're going to walk with the king. We're going to serve him. That's what somebody like Peter will say. We left everything. What are we going to get? But that was not Jesus. Jesus was not looking about this kingdom on earth. He was looking for something bigger than that. We are dying for things which are going to stay here. I buried my niece yesterday with nothing. She had a car. She had an apartment. She had a furniture. But we didn't put anything in a coffin. Only her. I mean her body, because she was not a nobody anymore. So that means everything that she worked for stayed behind. And those are the things that we are dying for. You see Christians fighting for material things, for things that we're going to take nowhere.
But the good thing that she took with her is her life with Christ. Come, somebody say amen. Come on.
Amen.
She took that with her, and that we couldn't take it. So these two, Cleopas and the other one, were walking, going to Emmaus, discouraged. All my hope is gone. He's dead. We lost everything. Our calculation, everything is gone. We waste our time maybe thinking. Because some people think that coming to serve Jesus is wasting of time. But I can tell you today there is no better life than Christ, my Lord. Jesus Christ is the better thing. It's not your work, it's not your diploma. I don't care what you have studied in your life. You are a doctor, that's fine with me. But I am telling you, knowing Christ is the wonderful thing that no one is going to take away from you. Your marriage or your sickness, anything happen to you, it's not going to take it away. Nothing will take it away. Knowing Christ. How many times are we discouraged into our situation? You see, I heard the testimony of a late Bishop Nelson. And someone said that he served God more when he was sick than when he was alive in a good health. You see, when the Lord is allowing anything to happen in your life, it's for purpose. Because God wanna glorify himself in your life. He wants to glorify himself. It's not for you, but you need to understand what God wants to do. They're walking. Discouraged. They're walking. No hope. On the road to Emmaus. Where is your road? Where are you walking? Where are you going? Why are you so discouraged? You see, Jesus, not only he had a work, and you know, he had a job. He spent 3 years teaching these people. But he has, before going to heaven, come back because most of them were discouraged. Somebody is with me this morning. Peter went fishing. The other one going to a mess. The other one. But the only people I love in the Bible, you know, is the women. Somebody say women. Oh, they're wonderful. Women. I love women. The women stick to Jesus. Do you know who was the first to see that he was resurrected? Woman, where's the man? Just talking too much, doing nothing. Hello, man. Good morning. The women went to the tomb because they knew the Lord. So these men were discouraged. I didn't see anywhere, I don't know, Pastor Joe can correct me. I didn't see anywhere they said the women was discouraged and then left. Did you ever read that?
No.
I never read that in my Bible. It was about men. We have a problem in the church. Men, we need to wake up in the church. We need to wake up and serve the Lord. In our houses, where the Lord is bringing us, we need to wake up and serve the Lord. The women are always there. We're always behind them. We're claiming to be whatever we want. Oh, you know what? We are the men. We are this. Oh, come on. Come on. And Jesus came and walked with them.
but didn't allow them to know him because he wanted to know what's going on with them. So he started talking to them. And they was like surprised, you know what? Talking about all their disappointment. And Jesus asked them, what are you talking about? And they look at him and said, are you the only one who doesn't know what happened? Really? The big thing will happen in Jerusalem, you don't know? Jesus said, what happened in Jerusalem? What happened? Listen, man, listen. Maybe you're not from around here. Let's tell you. There was a guy that we know was a prophet. They didn't even know him as a Messiah, but they called him a prophet. He was a good man, but they decided to kill him. We told that he's the one who's going to restore the kingdom of Israel. Is that what you thought about Jesus? Are you talking about Jesus, that one who's going to come and restore your marriage? Are you talking about Jesus, that one who's going to come and give you good health because you are sick? Are you talking about Jesus, that one who's going to give you children because since you are married, you don't have children? Are you talking about Jesus, the one who's going to come give you a job because you are jobless? I am not talking about that Jesus. I am talking about the Jesus who's going to come and give you eternal life. Because everything else that we are looking for, those are the things that's going to follow us. When you come closer to him, when you are living with Jesus, when you know who he is as a Messiah, everything else will be given to you. Because everything belongs to him. We are working hard for the thing, but we are not working hard for Jesus. We need to wake up in our churches. I need my district to wake up. I need the people who's going to stand up and start working for Jesus and not for the material things. Because once we start working for the things will divide us. The things are going to bring opinion in the church. The things is going to hurt the church. But when we're working for Jesus, I'm telling you, the love of Christ is going to be in our hearts. They were talking. And Jesus was listening. And when he started talking to them, they felt something. I like the way that you put in your bulletin here. Wasn't like a fire burning within us when he talked to us. Do you feel it right now? Something burning when we're sharing the word of God inside you? Every time you talk about the word of God, it's a joy. It's something special. Something burning inside us. Something exciting. Because when Jesus talked, nobody has ever talked like Jesus. Ever. He was talking to them. They felt it. He talked to them about the prophet, about what the prophet said. He talked to them about the beginning. Everything was said about Jesus. He explained that to them. So I believe that those people just said that, wow, this guy knows more than what we thought. But that was not the point. That was not the point. They were still not at the point where Jesus wanted to get them. And when they got to Emmaus, thank you God for this word. And Jesus fake like he wanted to go. He was going. And they said, come on. Man, just stay with us. It's night. Because there was something in the world who started clicking inside them. Stay with us. Maybe stay with us because they want to listen more. But somebody say amen. Come on. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Stay with us.
He stayed. He went to that immense, I think that's the village where they were. And then they brought everything. They brought the food. And the Bible said, he took the bread. He broke it. And when he broke the bread, their eyes were open. They knew who he was. They knew that was Jesus. There was a miracle on the body of Christ. There was a miracle on the breaking of the bread. There was a miracle. That's what Jesus said, that you will eat my flesh and you will drink my blood. There was a miracle. You see, I'm preaching Jesus today that I never see, but I know him. I know him. You the same. We all know, we were not the time that Jesus was here, but we know Jesus. Was God wrong to make us what we are today? Was Jesus wrong to give us what we have today? Why did he give us all this? To them at that time, he told them, stay in Jerusalem until you receive the Holy Spirit. It was a simple instruction. Stay in Jerusalem. You see, people are very crazy sometimes. You give them a simple instruction and they're not going to obey that. A simple thing. But when you give them a hard thing, they're going to try it so hard. Stay. Stay in Jerusalem. Because Jesus knew that they were not really at that point. They needed the Holy Spirit to clarify the situation. Stay in Jerusalem. You see, when he broke the bread, their eyes opened. They knew it was Jesus. Everything came to them. That fire burning in them. The same night, the Bible said they did what? They went back where? Hello? And they found Simon, who said that I saw him. And they talk about the story, how they met Jesus. You see, Jesus loves us. He really loves us. He doesn't love us because we are Mennonite. Jesus never make a Mennonite. We call ourselves Mennonite. I read about the story. Menno. Jesus didn't make a church called Catholic. He didn't make a church called United Methodist Church. He didn't make a church called Lutheran Church. Jesus made the disciples who are called to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Once you understand that, you have the key to unlock the ministry of the gospel. Because if you call yourself Mennonite, then you are limited in this hall here. And if you call yourself Mennonite, a person who's walking outside and say that I'm not Mennonite is not going to come here. But if we're calling ourselves a Christian, then everybody is welcome to the house of the Lord. May God bless you this morning. Let us focus in what he has bringing us close to Christ. We are on the road toward heaven. We were going to encounter so many problems, so many situations. But we will conquer those situations. No matter the situation of your life today, no matter what you're going through, no matter whatever the news the doctor's giving you, but when you have Jesus, if he didn't say his last word, nothing will happen to you. Nothing. You may lose it today,
But he's the God who created everything. Tomorrow he'll give you more than what you have lost today. We need to have our eyes on Christ. The power of the resurrection still working. We need to embrace that. May God bless this church. Bless you in everything that you do. Because I know you will be the light in this corner here. This region is given to us. Me and you working together to bring all the soul to Christ, our Lord. The young generation, where are they? Where are they today? We need to bring them to Christ. Because if we're not doing our job, the society will do the job. We'll tell them what they want to listen. Because Christian, I choose to stay quiet. I'm not choosing to stay quiet. I choose to tell them the truth. They want to listen. They need to listen to the truth of Christ our Lord. Because when we pass away, we pass the church to the next generation. And the church will be going. The church I read outside was built in 1967. I was not born at that time. Because I was born in 1969. You see, for the rest of my life, because I'm going to live to pass 100 years old, I'm telling you good news. For the rest of my life, I'm going to spread. I am not going to retire. You will not going to see me retiring until the day you bury me. Because I don't believe in a retirement in my walk with Christ. The day I retire is the day Christ said, come, faithful servant, you have done your work. Come and stay in my kingdom. God bless you. God bless you this morning.
Thank you, Bishop Lewis, for sharing. At this time, I'd actually like to invite you and your family up front. Sorry to make you walk all the way back, but I just want to pray over you and have the church pray over you, and then members of the leadership team, if you'd come up and surround Bishop Lewis and his family, and we'll just, from your seats, you can, the rest of the congregation can just extend their hands out, because we might not fit all up front.